Julie Zemiro, welcome to Joy 94.9 and Wednesday Breakfast with Ben and Gabe.
Well, hello to you and thank you so much. I've had about four coffees, so I'm really ready.
We're so ready for you.
We have never had an artistic director in the studio with us.
I've never been an artistic director before, so that's exciting.
And starting off with the Adelaide Cabaret Festival,
yes.
you don't hold your punches, you just go straight into it.
Well, when I was offered the job, in my head already I could make a list of the people I'd want to see. And the more I've become involved in it, the more I've been working on it because it's been, you know, 6 months now, nearly, wow. 7 months in preparation for June this year, 2019, that's the year we're in. It's been a big question of what is cabaret. So, Gabe, if I say cabaret to you, what comes to your mind?
Pizzazz, dancing, singing, entertainment, big costumes, big hand gestures,
great.
Spirit fingers.
And Gabe's doing all of those now. What about you, Ben? What's your...
Fishnets and bowler hats.
Is it... So you're going quite literal on that.
Quite literal, quite like Liza Minnelli
quite
cabaret.
Liza. Yeah, excellent. Well, there'll be touches of all of that in my festival. And I guess the thing too with artistic directorship, so David Campbell and his wife Lisa Campbell did it for 3 years. Kate Sobrano did it for three years. Yeah. Barry Humphries did it for 1 year. That was enough for him. Eddie Perfect and Ali McGregor did it for 2 to 3 years. And I'm doing it now. I guess it's what you bring to it, what your taste is, and you bring mm-hmm. what you think cabaret is and what you want to see in it. And I'm doing it now. I guess it's what you bring to it, what your taste is, and you bring mm-hmm. what you think cabaret is and what you want to see in it. So ours will have probably more politics, probably more looks at the rise and fall and the pitfalls and the successes of fame and how that's sometimes a good thing, sometimes a bad thing. And yeah, and excellence, like really great people at the top of their game.
You have such an impressive CV, you know, television star, comic, actor, singer. You're at Joy today, so we're going to say all-round diva.
Thank you very much.
You've got the diva title in Joy Studios. It's got to feel pretty great now to tell people, oh, by the way, I'm also the artistic director of the Adelaide Cabaret Festival.
Yes, it is.
Is there a little bit of, are there some nice feels with that
now? There's some very nice feels, but you know what else comes with those feels, Ben?
Yeah.
Great responsibility.
Mm. Yes.
And you are spending someone else's money. You are curating it. So we're choosing.
Yeah.
I'm choosing who goes in. Mm-hmm. So if people don't like it, they can tell me about it. Yep. But look, I will say every night of those 16 glorious nights in winter in Adelaide in June, I will be there every night in the foyer for at least an hour before the shows all start to talk to people, chat to audiences, ask them what they've been seeing, what they've been enjoying.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to hear the feedback because that's what it's about. And we are going to have the famous Spiegel tent that hasn't been there in a while, that little glowing golden orb where you can fit 200 to 300 people in there. There'll be a late night club there every Thursday, Friday, Saturday night doing all kinds of, you know, shenanigan shows at 11 o'clock using amazing performers from the festival. And then you've got the huge festival centre on your right, and then you've got the Dunstan Playhouse and that theatre on your left, all there around there. Plus, we've got a great venue called the Theberton Theatre. Now, if anyone's ever toured, who's been in bands, they know that theatre in Adelaide. Mm-hmm. And it's an Art Deco 2,000-seater bit of splendour, and we'll be filling that up too with amazing acts.
You have this incredible ability to connect with people. That's what I feel. Where do you think that comes from?
Waitressing. I'm not joking.
I see you and you really look people in the eye.
Yes.
And just, I get those feels from you.
It comes from waitressing. Look, I waitressed for a bazillion years in my dad's restaurant, in other restaurants, in novelty restaurants, in, you know, wearing bunny suit restaurant, everything. And certainly often it was tip driven. You know, you wanted to get really great tips so you'd really connect with people and look at them. But I worked at a place called Bobby McGee's. I know there was one in Melbourne. There's one in Sydney where you had to be a character and look people in the eye and chat to them and sing to them and, you know, entertain. And once you sort of get over that, it gives you a certain kind of crazy confidence, but so does improv. I've done a lot of improvisation, a lot of theatre sports, a lot of singing improv. If you're not doing it for the audience, then who are you doing it for? You know, so I just feel that people love being looked in the eye and they love being connected with, not in a spooky, weird way, but in a I'm really listening to you and I see you way. And that seems to be the reason a lot of people give me certain jobs, especially MC jobs. And I'm not joking. I really do think all that waitressing where you would have to, within a short amount of time, suss out who you were serving, what would make them happy. You'd want them to leave happy. And it's about reading people. And with home delivery, even take that show I do on
that's
the ABC.
That's a show where, sorry to cut you off, but that's a show where I'm really envisioning you really connecting with people.
Yeah, but I had to learn there was no red lipstick, no, hi everybody, welcome to. Mm. It was shutting up, listening, letting them talk, learning to not go, every time they would speak, like, I'm listening, so I'll make a noise. Yeah. It was like, shut up, it sounds awful. And just be present. It's being filmed, they can see you there. You don't have to, learning a whole new set of skills. But yeah, I think listening's the big one. See, I know.
Where do you think that creative spark came from?
My mum tells this story of us being at a dinner party or something, and I'm like 4 or 5, and there's all these adults sitting in a circle, and apparently I did the whole circle once in English, chatting to people in English, and did the whole circle again back again in French. I think I was a chatty, yappy kid, but an only child, and you know, you either entertain yourself or you look for friends, or you just, and adults are always great with kids, you know, in general they're quite happy to chat, and you get a lot more from an adult than you might get from a kid. And just, I think, just yappy. I think when you're yappy and chatty, I think parents go, Jesus, go and do a theatre class where at least you're given a script and you can do that.
Yeah.
And then you learn those, and then it's about being a character and about being someone else. I think kids love to be something else and try on different things. And then when you realise as an adult you quite like doing it, well, you're trapped, aren't you? You're going to keep doing it. So I think that's what – and so I went to acting school here in Melbourne at VCA, and that's the first time I came to Melbourne. And you know, Melbourne literally opened up so many things for me, my own brain, about what it is to be a human in an amazing – in this amazing industry. And, so I think, you end up putting on all those different hats and you've got to enjoy it.
Yeah.
I also love seeing people who don't have to put on those hats and are very happy being themselves. I'm really drawn to those people too.
The serious people?
Maybe the serious or the quiet or the studious or that go, this is who I am. I can't be someone else. But I'm someone who really enjoyed being in that world, and I think you look for any opportunity that you can express that.
100%.
Of course. Well, if I hit 40 and I'm not successful, does that mean I have to quit? No.
But see, I guess everyone's got a different measure on it. I was getting tired.
Yeah.
I guess I was getting tired of not being able to pay rent or plan, or I didn't mind waitressing, as you know, I love waitressing, but it was, I just thought, oh, what's going to, you know, you give yourself these random kind of, it'll be 40, it'll be 35. Some people, you know, I've had young actors come up to me and say, I really thought I would have made it by now. And I say, how old are you? And they go, 25. I'm like, so, wow. But there is a pressure now, there's a pressure to be big, young. And it's like, well, you've got a whole lifetime to do it. So I'm glad mine came at 37, goddammit.
All right, you have done so many amazing things in your life. Like, the list goes on and on, but I want to hear about the things that weren't so amazing. And what if you had the chance to redo one thing, what would it be?
Wow, that's a good one.
We want the dirt, Julia. We want it. Just drag it through.
Let me think. Oh, stuff I didn't do very well. Oh, God. I mean, because it's good to fail. It's really important to fail and sort of get up again. Look, speaking of radio...
Yeah.
You know, I did radio for a couple of years with Jonathan Coleman on Gold 104. Can I say that?
Yeah. Of course.
We'll beep that out.
No. We'll beep it out.
What's commercial radio? Never heard of it.
And I loved it.
Yeah.
I wish I could have done more of it. And I would have liked to have tried doing a breakfast show, but with people I really like. I mean, I love Jonathan Coleman, I did. But I would have loved to have done it with maybe another woman and try and do a two-woman breakfast that isn't hysterical, that isn't – doesn't got ads, so that's a bit impossible. That's commercial radio. But, yeah, try doing that and nailing that in a different way. The way Hamish and Andy redefined it.
Yeah.
About friendship. It's about friendship and about sort of an authentic voice. I think people always sort of relate to them in that way. So that would have been interesting. I auditioned for Totally Full Frontal and did the audition of my life.
Yeah.
Did 8 different characters. 5 were original. 3 were impersonations. Mm. I thought I've nailed this and I didn't get it.
Wow.
And I remember thinking, wow, how can I not get – I mean, I did everything right.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's just not your turn, you know. Mm. And then it came back 2 years later and I didn't have to audition again. I just walked into it. But I think you have to be patient, I guess. You have to be patient.
I wanted to actually ask you about Totally Full Frontal, because that was probably my first memory of you. Was that your big break on TV?
I would say so. Yeah. Yes. That was, I mean, I'd done Good News Week a little bit and all that, but no, that was definitely, I would say. And then you have all this time in the sun. That's fantastic for 2 years. And then I was like, well, people will call. This will be good. No one, nothing.
Yeah.
There was nothing for a year. And really? I just thought, oh. And it took me another 5 years. And I was 37 and I thought, if I turn 40 and I still don't have a regular job, I'm giving it up. I will do something else. And I was very, and it was going to be teaching. And I don't see teaching as a fallback. I think teaching is amazing. Mm-hmm. As Tim Minchin said, if you can be a teacher, be a teacher in anything you do. But then Rockquiz came along at 37 and literally opened the door to everything, to the radio show. Absolutely. With John O'Coleman, to Eurovision, to home delivery, everything.
What is your advice for sort of just sticking your neck out there?
Well, the world's very different to when I was doing it. But I guess it would be that if you try and make work, like be it comedy for you, Gabe, or musical, writing your own music, if you're doing work to please 100% of the people, then it'll never work. Mm. Write what you think is funny or you think is beautiful, and what, 60% of the people will probably come along with you. And then if you get a bit more known, maybe 70, or maybe it'll only be 40. But you've got to do things, you've got to please yourself first. And that's the hard part, because you're thinking, I'm making work that I think's amazing and no one else seems to like it. Then you have to remember how much bloody entertainment there is out there. Mm. Don't take it personally so much all the time. Yeah. But also have something else to do in the day.
Yeah.
When I'd go for auditions at 10 o'clock in the morning, and you go, don't think about it all day. I'd go and meet a friend, I'd go for a swim, I'd go shopping, you go and do your washing, and then at 5 o'clock that afternoon you think, oh yeah, that audition at 10. Well, maybe I'll hear back, maybe I won't. You've got to find other things to balance it with and do, because otherwise it just becomes this sort of tunnel of wanting that might not get it. So you've got to have good friends around you as well to support you, but do what you think is funny, do what you think is good. Mm. People will find you. We know that. It's even easier now with you know, social media and YouTube and all that.
Absolutely.
You are the artistic director for the Adelaide Cabaret Festival. Dates are Friday the 7th of June till the 22nd of June.
I hope that's in my diary. I really do.
Okay, that's definitely the dates.
But no, it is the 7th to the 22nd of June. And if it is in your power to catch a plane, come on down and see a couple of shows. That'd be amazing. Or even tell your friends who are in Adelaide. We really are so excited about this whole program, and I'll be talking about it till kingdom come. And it's all on the socials, obviously, as well. And I have to say, there will be glitzy and there'll be jazz hands and there will be fishnets, but there'll also be curveballs, things you don't expect. So have a look online.
All the best for the festival.
See you next time. And Gabe, see you at the Comedy Festival.